Welcome back to Rain on Your Parade with J.L. Covan. I'm J.L. Covan, here, as always, with Producer Mike. Hello, Producer Mike.
Hi, everybody. Hi, J.L. How you doing? What's going on?
Great. Not much. Not much is going on.
Yeah, anything happened this weekend?
when people are listening to this by Thursday morning, the Republican convention will almost be wrapped up. And today, Donald Trump made his presidential pick, and I called it with a video 3 hours beforehand. I took a risk and did my whole video based on...
You got the exact guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, people come here for the comedy. They come here for the sharp political takes. They just don't come here to give me money.
Yeah.
That's all, Bill Maher. But I called that, and I still think there should be some sort of, I hope David Bowie's estate licenses Let's Dance, mm-hmm. but then they just do a remake to Trump Vance. And I'm going to write the whole thing later tonight because I have no life. But
oh boy,
something else happened this weekend.
Oh, yeah. What?
Some guy in Pennsylvania took a few shots at my president, Donald J. Trump.
What?
Yeah. Stop
what do you
the
mean?
Press is breaking news. Let me tell you something. How everybody's going to remember where they were when they found out. I was doing legal work in my apartment. And had turned off the TV and then left my phone in another room. So I was probably like 20 minutes behind the news. I'm usually pretty connected to social media.
Yeah.
And then I opened it up and I saw Jonathan Martin of Politico had retweeted something. And I was like, well, he doesn't usually retweet jokes unless it's me between the years of 2020 and 2022.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, what's this? Like, did Trump say something? Because you can't tell right away when you're looking at it. And then they were like you heard the cracks. And I said, oh, wow. Was that fireworks? Because I don't know gunfire. I'm a peaceful beta lib. And then I saw a comedian who I'll leave nameless because I'm not trying to get anybody canceled. But let me tell you something. He shared the same video and he said, I love this country. And then I said, oh, this is something. And it's like he did tweet it out. I don't know if he rescinded it. I don't know. Probably not. But comedy is one of those jobs where you don't really have to worry about HR.
Yeah.
Too much. I mean, for crying out loud, he can jerk off in front of coworkers
right.
and be treated like a deity.
Right. Right.
So
for a while, at least.
Yeah. I mean, you know, eventually you're forced to live on your $15 million that you squirreled away.
Yeah, yeah.
So as you approach your 60s. But the point is, I said, what is this? And I turned on the news and it was like coming together very quickly. But Donald J. Trump, GOP nominee, former president, was shot at.
Uh-huh.
And some glass nicked his ear. And it was... Let me put it this way. This wasn't 9/11. Okay.
How do you mean?
I thought if you told me a presidential nominee was shot at and almost killed in my lifetime, that felt like something from the 60s.
Yeah.
Or 81. I wasn't really too aware of when Reagan got shot, even though I was 4'3" uh-huh. at 2 years old. But I thought I would be more affected than I was. And this goes back actually to our episode fans or new fans, new listeners maybe to this episode on death, where I actually talked about how social media and the constant influx of news and hype is I think numbing us to a lot. We had so many big deaths and a near humongous death in like 24 hours. You're probably too young for like Shannon Doherty to
no,
mean something.
Of course. Okay. I mean, Shannon Doherty, it's not like it didn't mean anything to me in the sense that, like, at least Shelley Duvall, I was a little upset, not upset about. I'm never that upset when these people pass, unfortunately, but I understand the gravity.
Right.
You know, Shelley Duvall, The Shining, and.
Yeah, Richard Simmons, you work out to his taste to this day.
Right.
So.
It's sad when anybody dies, but, you know.
But these were like, collectively, they add up to like one Robert De Niro.
Sure. Okay.
If we're being honest.
You could look at it like that.
Yeah, I think I'm not trivializing death by turning into math equations of human value.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is kind of in keeping with the death episode where it was like, are we, I can use myself as like a control experiment, like where it's like, yeah, I was amped up Saturday. And I don't mean that like I was happy, but I was not sad. Like, I was a little, I was nervous for our country. Like, what's going to happen here? Like, what's, yeah. But I was not, and I know, all jokes aside about, I'm not a Trump fan. I think he's an awful, atrocious human being. And I think most of his followers are garbage. And I know, sorry, Joe Biden. I'm sorry that I'm not doing the whole, let's lower the temperature. These people started an arson in the house. And now you want, and I get it. We all have a role to play, but let's lower the temperature. Can we start with the arsonists? Because they lit the house on fire. So they definitely raised the temperature the most. but we have to do this both sides. But I was just first impression. I was nervous, but I wasn't sad, which is kind of a weird, because I would have expected myself to be a little more sad. And then I have to give it to him, and we'll break things down. And by the way, you may not know this, Mike. This is kind of like an early birthday present for you, a month in advance.
For me?
Donald Trump is going to be on the show today.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
You know, we have some big time guests.
Yeah. This is our biggest guest.
Yeah. I don't know if he'll do any sit down interviews before we air this episode.
Right.
But pretty big exclusive for Slickback, not just for this show.
I know, you're right.
For Slickback Studios.
We got him to come all the way out to Brooklyn into this, you know, realm of warehouses.
You know, private transfer. I mean, he's
flying
private
car.
To Milwaukee for the convention after this. But
still.
But I will give the devil his due. The pump of the fist.
Won him the election.
The pump of the fist.
It's over.
The fight.
Yep.
He probably wanted to say the N-word, but he had the presence of mind not to. But then you think to yourself, and I tweeted all this stuff, but I'm really condensing it for the people. Some would say presence of mind. I would say unprecedented narcissism and brand awareness.
Yes.
Like when
I agree with. Yeah. This is the thing he does best.
The adrenaline pumping through him didn't make him go, let's get to safety. It said,
yeah.
Opportunity.
He told them to hold on. They were trying to rush him off the stage. He's like, hold on.
Where are my shoes? And then he pumped the fist.
Yeah.
I tweeted out. I mean, I was so on my fucking game when this happened. That's what scared me. It was like, I had the same adrenaline rush. Because I think me and Trump are kind of like Voldemort and Harry Potter.
Uh-huh.
There is a connection there. But when he said, where are my shoes? And he was bleeding from the ear. I said, I think that's a Dane Cook bit from 20 years ago. And it is. And I tweeted a 20 second segment where he talks about a guy getting hit by a car and then pretending to be okay.
Yeah.
And he goes, I'm fine. And no, you should sit down, bro. You're bleeding from the ears. Yeah, I bleed from the ears sometimes. I just empty the blood out of my head every 2 weeks. Has anybody seen my shoes? I kicked them off in a fit of joy. And I just framed that 20 seconds. I was like, Dane Cook called this.
Yeah. Prophet. But
those are my first thoughts. And I know you've said you have maybe some slightly different takes or you felt differently about what happened Saturday.
Yeah, I do. In general, obviously, I think my first thought, once I sorted out my feelings, I think my first thought was, wow. Like, when we sort of document history, it really does come down to a lot of these sliding doors moments where it's like, you know, if he's...
And Ben Affleck getting divorced, by the way, speaking of sliding doors.
What?
Wasn't he in Sliding Doors?
I don't know. I've never heard of that movie.
Oh, you just get to reference the movie without knowing it?
I was just referencing
What's
the language
next?
That
gonna
we
say
speak.
Catch 22 and not read the book. I stopped the book twice.
Yeah, I didn't like the book or the movie. I have no idea what I was saying.
Since I listen and I'm a good friend and content creator, these sliding door moments.
Sliding Doors.
History,
that's right. All right. History really, if you look at a lot of major world events, they're very dependent on, we know now, millimeters. You know, Trump moves his head to the left, a millimeter, and God knows what the fuck happens. His head explodes on TV. To me, I feel like it stokes the flames for potentially like a real civil war. Is that crazy
Guns
to think?
Guns N' Roses streams explode the next day. I don't need your civil war. Wow.
But so that was my first thought where I kind of came down from it, where I was like, you know, almost thank God that it missed, because I think it would have actually ended up worse for the country. I don't know. I don't know. I think this whole scenario really puts everybody in a bad spot, because I do think that this sort of solidified the election for him, because as this is happening, 2 days before that, Biden calls Zelensky Putin, and now Trump survives an assassination attempt. It's like, I mean, these guys could not be on two different sides of the spectrum.
You're starting to really see separation in terms of the strength factor.
Yes. I mean, good God. It's just so bad. So there's that element of it. But the one thing I will say, and obviously, you know, I think I've made my position very clear on this show to our listeners. I am not a Trump fan either. I think we are in agreement. He's a really bad guy.
Why does Mike love Trump so much? People DM me.
Horrible guy, convicted rapist, criminal. I think that he should be punished accordingly. I don't think that you would know better than I would, but I think I was reading somewhere that the crimes that he actually committed and what he got convicted for, I think like 30% of people see jail time for it. So I don't know that he would even be...
Though, of course, if he were not a president, somebody that unrepentant and attacking witnesses would be in the 30%.
Oh, yes, for sure. Yeah, yeah.
Other than the presidency, he would be in that percentage that get jail time.
Totally. But so I think he should be punished accordingly, obviously, but I do...
Like the way he said, you know, women who get abortions should be punished. It's only fair. I'm just using the man's own words. This is not to shake up the country at a tough time.
It's complicated, because I do think that he's incited violence for a lot of his, you know, public political career. So there's that, but I still...
So what? He told supporters, if you beat up protesters, he'll pay your legal bills. I mean... What politician say that?
Yeah, I mean,
January 6th, you got to fight or you won't have a country.
I get it.
And I know.
These are horrible things, but I don't think he should have been assassinated. And I think that I was a bit grossed out by some of what I was seeing on the internet, because I do think that part of the thing that bummed me out about it was, whether it's right or not, I do think there's been a part of me over the past 9 or so years, as I've really gotten more and more liberal, that sort of feels like liberals in a way have a bit of a moral high ground. And I think it's not everybody, obviously, but a lot of people on my timelines. No, I'm just saying that I think there were a lot of people that were like making jokes that were like, just like 1 millimeter to the left. And it's like, blah, blah, blah. But like at the end of the day, man, he is a bad guy. I do think that he is he should go to jail for his crimes, if that's, you know, what I think he should be punished accordingly for the bad things that he did. And I don't think he should be president of the country. I also don't think his head should be blown off. And I don't think people that are going to vote for Biden should be celebrating that it almost happened. And it made me feel like I was living in like Venezuela or some fucking country where this is normal in a way, because it just kind of feels like the political life that I've been a part of and I've seen. I mean, I was talking to a friend about it today. It's like since 2015, I feel like you can point to this last almost decade as just pure chaos across the board. And a lot of it's his fault.
Though the funny thing is, every Trump supporter and every, and now if I may make a couple points, he showed up and by coincidence, everything went to shit.
I'm not saying
you are. Yeah. Here's my impression. Did you ever see The Birdcage?
Yeah, I love that movie.
Great movie.
Yeah.
One of my favorite scenes in that movie, and it is just, that is an elite comedy.
Uh-huh.
But one of my favorite scenes, and one of the reasons why I think Gene Hackman is just like a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Oh, so good.
Is when he gets the call that the senator has died, and he goes, she was a prostitute, underage,
and black.
And in that order, the humor of that is that's the level of outrage that this Republican senator felt.
Yeah, yeah.
The black at the end was like, oh my God, we've got a problem.
Johnson's dead. I can't fucking believe this. I'm ruined.
So you have that thing is how I feel like the GOP responded to the shooter.
Yeah.
In other words, the blood is on the hands of the Democrats was right. The instant reaction.
Yep.
And then it was...
Which I don't agree with.
No. And it may not be in any sense, literal, metaphorical, tangential, like, because here's how I imagine Mike Johnson, although he wouldn't be as animated as Gene Hackman. Mm-hmm. We have the identity of the shooter. He's white. With an AR-15. And a registered Republican.
Yeah.
Plan B, tamp down the rhetoric on both sides. Can we go with that messaging instead of destroy the Democrats in the fiery hell flames of perdition?
Yep.
We'll go with tamp down the rhetoric on both sides.
Yep. I agree with
okay.
that.
Okay. Yep. I think that's exactly how that fucking played.
I got to say, too, I was watching. So
They were ready. They were ready to be like our almost martyred, but now God,
yes.
Donald Trump.
Right.
Democrats did this. Are you going to trust the country? We told you they were vile criminals and hated our country and hated this man to dangerous levels. Because they love saying things like, this is the first president who's ever been indicted. It's like, well, he's the biggest piece of shit that's ever been elected.
Right, right, right.
They never tell, they like, if I, it would be like if I shot you right now and yeah. the cops arrested me, I'd be like, I'm the first person in my family to be arrested.
Yeah.
Doesn't that strike anybody as strange? That's the Republicans' like backward logic on yeah. all this.
So I was watching the Braves Padres game got preempted on Fox.
Oh no!
And they, I was, which is what I was trying to watch on
even
TV.
Even bikes passed baseball in 1 week. By the way,
I was trying to watch the Braves Padres on Saturday. I was like kicking around, and they preempted it obviously with wall to wall Fox News coverage. Hannity and then whoever
they, like,
could rotate
streamed Fox News onto main Fox.
Yes, onto regular Fox. So I was just like, it was what was happening. I was kind of trying to just follow along what was going on. I was like, fuck it. Why don't I'll watch some Fox News for a minute. Let me see what their side of this is. And I took away one quote that I sent to one of my group chats. And I was stunned when I saw this, but it does kind of like let you into the insight of what the Republicans and his supporters, I guess, are thinking after this. I'm going to give you the quote. You're not going to guess. I'll just tell.
Oh, I'll guess.
Quote.
I'll guess.
It was like watching a warrior president, unquote. It's a woman. You're not going to get it.
Well, it's not Kat Timpf, obviously.
No.
It's a regular on Fox?
Yes. I think she's on the 5.
Oh, not Kennedy.
No.
Okay, tell me.
It was Dana Perino.
Oh, I wouldn't have
known. And I was just sitting there watching it, and I was just like, oh, my God. Like, this is how these people are getting. This is why. That was really, I think that was my first thought. Like, well, the election's over.
Yeah.
This guy's won it because these people now are going to be ultra invigorated. I mean, dude, it's scary because we're moving into a really violent period of this country. I think I really don't know what's going to happen over the next, I don't know, I'll even say decade, but I would say shorter than that. I am a little nervous, and I really do. There's a big part of me that feels like if it actually would have happened, something really bad would have happened.
Yes.
Like, I don't know about like a full on fucking declarative civil war, but I think it would have been, there would have been a lot of like Trump supporters
getting
their guns. I'm going to
make a historical comparison.
Yeah.
It would have been the 1863 New York City draft riots, which was when the Irish, my people,
mm-hmm. Half your people.
Nature's original Italians, when they were racist and didn't want to get drafted into the Civil War for, you know,
yeah.
insert slur.
Yeah, yeah.
They decided to go around New York lynching black people.
Mm.
That's what I think would have happened if it was a, you know, migrant center burned down,
right.
if it was driving around in your Ford pickup, gunning
right.
down people. Attacking Democrats.
Or just even something smaller. Like, did you see that whole stupid shit a couple months ago, the Truckers for Trump thing, that when he was on trial, they weren't going to, like, bring goods and services?
You know, that was a couple of years ago.
No. That just happened.
Then there's been multiple
Truckers for Trump movements.
Oh,
dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was when he first went on trial at the earlier okay. point of this okay. year. But there were all these videos that were going out. The New York Post was running it and stuff about people that were just like, we vote for Trump and we drive trucks and we're just going to not bring this stuff into Manhattan.
Whoa.
But it's like,
yeah,
that it, if they actually decided to not do like to do that shit, that would be, at the least, it would be a pretty major inconvenience.
Yeah, you know? and then
completely politically motivated.
Right, and all the drivers who wanted to continue doing their jobs would probably look different and be treated differently for their willingness to do their job.
Maybe. I don't know.
I know. And the Teamsters boss is going to speak at the Republican convention.
Oh, is he?
Which I love because the rank and file are obviously divided, but it's like, once again, we've talked about this. Who's better for unions? Joe Biden, who right. pickets with unions, stands with labor, has fought for actual, or the guy who doesn't even pay his workers.
Yeah.
But, you know, racism is its own, you know, its own reward.
Yeah.
So I'm watching Saturday and I'm like fired up. So of course I made a video a half hour after it occurred once I knew he was safe. Okay. That's where I draw the line for my conscience for this guy. I wasn't going to go all the way if he was deceased.
Yeah.
But I smeared some ketchup on my face and did a nice video that did very well for me. So thank you, everybody who watched it. And I like the people who will then say, look at this piece of shit. The left, so tolerant. And I go, and some guy said, oh, what happened to when they go low, we go high? I go, do I fucking look like Michelle Obama? Fuck this dude. Sorry for the vibe. But that, like, glad he didn't, like, it sounds too callous to say this and too inappropriate. But just like, unlike Trump, I put the country ahead of any particular individual grievance or beef.
Sure.
Okay? So I'm happy he survived. I'm sad for the person who died.
Me too.
I'm very sad. And that was when I kind of paused, you know, I did a 12-hour moratorium on videos. Okay?
Okay.
When I learned. But I felt bad for him. He was like died shielding his family or something. Yeah, That's horrible.
Yeah, yeah, dude.
But it's very hard for me to be like, and when politicians say, I'm glad Trump is okay. I'm like, yeah, I'm glad for the country. Like, I hope he finds some salvation and some spiritual forgiveness someday before he meets his maker. But beyond that, he's garbage. He sucks. He's the worst. Like when people are like, dude, like your jokes, this is so classless. He defamed a woman he raped.
I know, but like, I think, although I agree in sentiment, I guess.
I'm just saying as far as jokes,
oh, sure.
I don't really feel like, I feel bad. Like I said, I feel bad for the person who died. Of course. No, like that's
But nobody's
that's
making
horrible.
Fun of them.
Right. And to me, it's like, as soon as Trump said, get me my shoes, I was like, okay, we're all good. We're all good to make jokes. He's branding.
Right.
He's doing branding. So
right.
I think we're good now. Now it's, and it is, anybody who says it isn't, don't be one of those libs who's like, it was fake or it was, that is an iconic photo. And you gotta give, like Fox News, that is a soon to be Pulitzer Prize winning photo.
Absolutely.
And in every American history book for the next two centuries,
yep.
if we have a country then.
Right.
So.
Yep. Shout out to the, I don't know who took the picture, but like good on that photographer too for hanging in there and doing that. I mean, I wouldn't have, I can tell you that much. If I would have heard those gunshots, I would have been like, okay, somebody else got the scoop.
Yeah, but that is enough, that. There were also 400 teens taking selfies of it at the same time.
Yeah,
that's
but
a
I just,
joke. That's a joke.
I get you. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Jesus.
It's a turbulent time here, JL.
Yeah, it is. If only we knew who caused it. Both sides. The kindly old man and the tyrant. Equally guilty, of course. But this is, and then today I thought Eileen Cannon, and then I'm my stomach is starting. I had this shitty Chinese food last night.
Are you going to miss the Trump interview?
I don't want to, but this might be a long bathroom break, and I don't
want
to. He's
Do you
on
want
a
me
tight
to
schedule.
Wait? No, I can't. We can't wait.
When he gets here, he gets here.
Okay.
If I'm back, great. If I'm not, like, tell him I said fuck off. But
okay.
But what was I talking about?
I don't remember.
Yeah, good. I don't know. There's so many points that can be made here. But no, Eileen Cannon, the judge in Florida today, against pretty much every legal scholar, professor, and judge, dismissed his case.
Yeah.
And they say it's going to be probably one on appeal, almost certainly one on appeal for the government.
This is the Files case?
Yeah, the most ironclad case. This is a Trump appointee who is like light on experience, should not have taken this case, but she's done her job.
Yeah.
She has done her job. And to me, it was a perfect like palate cleanser. Like I had the, for lunch, I had sympathy over attempted assassination. If I could have this piece of shit judge sorbet to cleanse my palate before the meal of, oh yes, Trump still is a scumbag and a danger to this country. Perfect. Okay. Let's, let's move on. But that's what she did. Yeah. She like reminded right away. She was like, would now be a good time to do something totally fucking corrupt and shady. Cause I can get away with it now. They still feel bad for Trump, right? Right? Like she
can almost fly under the radar.
Well, of course it did because, you know, as we discussed the Supreme Court, I'm now discussing a district judge.
Right. Right.
So of course it's sort of under the radar, but you know, every Donald Trump, he's in Wisconsin. It's going to be Trump Vance. I fear for our country, but I also stick to my guns. Sorry for saying that, but it's, I think we're already done.
I do too.
When I Agreed. See somebody like Trump controlling half the country, at least half the country that votes, you know, and then a third of the country that could vote doesn't see any purpose or reason to vote. It's like the third of us that vote for the good guy and for the preservation of democracy and the future in terms of climate change and gun control and healthcare, that the third that vote, where it's a losing battle.
Yeah.
And to see Trump rise from the ashes like a rapist phoenix to be like the guy again after all he's done personally and politically.
Yeah.
It's kind of a sign, like I would compare this, and then I got, speaking of illness, then I got to get out of here. I would compare it to somebody that it's like the country has stage 4 cancer.
Yeah.
It's all about how we want to go. Keep pumping me full of drugs, keep fighting, or do you just send me to hospice? Uh-huh. Like our democracy and hospice coming from Simon and Schuster next year from author J.L. Covan. But I get like, okay, enjoy your break. I'm going to go.
I'll let him know you said all that.
You better. but yeah, guys, you'll get Donald Trump's firsthand account.
I guess I'm on my own.
Only a classy podcast would do this.
That's right.
He would only appear on a show that he knew would handle this, as much as I don't like him, with the care and respect.
And dignity.
And dignity.
That's the word.
Dignity most of all. Yeah. Integrity. Mike knows, you know, if I had a middle name, it would be Integrity.
That's right.
So let's go. I got to go. And Mike, good luck with the 45th and maybe 47th president.
All right. We'll be right back with Donald J. Trump. And we're back on Rain on Your Parade. It's just me, Mike, the producer. JL had to run out. He's having some bathroom problems. He loves Mexican food, and our next guest is somebody that he might. He hates Mexicans. I'm now joined by Donald J. Trump. Thank you for being here, Mr. President.
Well, I thought we were going to be talking to JT, who at least, you know, I thought I could finally tell him what I think of him because he's a nasty guy. I think you'd agree he's a nasty guy.
To you specifically, yeah, he's not the nicest.
He's not always. I listened to some of your shows. I think you're doing a great job, by the way, with Wetback Studios. I think that's very good stuff.
Thank you.
You know, because it's like, this is what it's about. Entrepreneur.
Right.
It's like a French word. But it's, you're like building a business, and you probably started during my presidency, let's be honest. And all of a sudden, you're moving studios because of Sleepy Joe's economy. It's rents going up. TikTok, you know, TikTok shop is ruining one studio. So it's very nasty what's going on. But I've always thought you did good work.
Thank you, Mr. President.
You know, I always wanted to be a guest on Guys We Fucked.
Well, nobody ever reached out. We would have booked you. We know you have a very active sex life.
Extremely active, even now. Don't tell Melatonin, but it's. But the point is, I thought JT was going to be here because I think he's a nasty guy, and you know we don't run. Unlike Sleepy Joe, you know, Sleepy, he runs from an interview. I don't even run from bullets, as you saw.
I did.
Yeah. I don't even run from bullets. I stand there. It's almost like Neo in the Matrix, except like it was like Iron Man. It was like it bounced off me practically. But no, we're happy to be here. I obviously have to fly back to Wisconsin for our great convention of Patriot. And we're going to talk love. We're going to talk love.
At the convention?
Well, because, you know, we have to... Sleepy Joe, he said some nice things yesterday, and we have to bring the country together. And if you don't, you know, obviously, and if you choose not to come together, we'll destroy you.
Of course.
So
that's the American way.
That's the Trump American way. That's we're rebranding it. It's now the Trump American way.
Right.
But, you know, we'll... But you got like 10 minutes left with the president.
Well, let me get started. I wanted to ask you a few questions. Obviously, there's so many things that I could ask you about policy-wise and the election's coming up. There's so many things that we could talk about. But, I mean, I just, from a broadcaster's perspective and with our audience, I think everybody just wants to know about that experience from Saturday with, you know, a bullet whizzing right by your head, several bullets whizzing by your head. I mean, can you take me through... what was going through your mind and just how you had the wherewithal to hit the deck? Just walk me through that whole thing.
So I'm up there delivering another great speech, full house in Pennsylvania, a very important state, by the way.
Yeah.
Big battleground.
Yep.
Became a real battleground, to be honest.
Yeah.
But we're standing up there and I'm talking to our great people, great patriots, everybody, having a nice time. It was hot. It was hot, but everybody was happy. That's the part the fake news doesn't show you. It's sort of like a celebration of our country. You know, but they have, oh, it's angry. Everything, January 6th, no, it was peaceful and happy. And I was pointing to a chart talking about immigrants and how they're ruining our country.
Of course.
And then all of a sudden, I reached up and I just caught something in my hand. And I looked, and it was a bullet.
You caught the bullet?
I just caught the bullet. I didn't even know I could do this. I just, you know, because it was like... I guess I'm so fast. I didn't realize how fast I was. It was like something was whizzing by. You know, I was like, "Is that a fly?" And I caught the bullet. And then another one. You know, another person would have blown their whole ear off, but it just nicked my ear.
Right.
Another bullet. And I said, "What the blood?" And then I got down. I was faster. You saw that. I was faster than Secret Service.
Yeah.
And we're gonna have to talk about Secret Service at some point because the secret's out. You suck. absolutely atrocious. And this is, I've always appreciated, you know, I've joked with our Secret Service people. They've always said, oh, we didn't like Obama. We didn't like guarding the black and all these, you know, so they're good guys. But.
Because they were making fun of Obama?
Yeah, they didn't like, you know.
Saying they were good guys because they were like, we didn't like guarding the black.
Yeah, like, you know, just locker room talk.
Right.
NASCAR.
Just the guys.
1950s NASCAR locker room talk.
Got
That's
it.
All it was.
Okay.
And so these are, but they did a horrible job and they didn't plan. And I sort of saved myself. You know, it's sort of, you know, you say they like jumped around me and it was like, it's okay, everybody. I already caught the bullet.
Right.
So,
but there were multiple bullets. There was a lot of shots.
No, of course, I didn't, you know, I wasn't going to just, you know,
you can't catch them all, I guess.
Of course,
right.
But I caught one, which is, I think, a lot more than you've ever caught. And then they said, we got him. We got the shooter who was, you know, they're reporting all sorts of things, but he was probably Antifa. And
do you think that? He says that he was a Republican, registered.
What better way to infiltrate than to pretend to be a Republican, have an AR-15, be an ugly white person? You're practically the mascot of a Trump rally.
Yeah.
So very easy to infiltrate. And they probably recruited him. They probably, Antifa or... you know, the pride flag or whoever recruited him.
Yeah.
They probably recruited him and it's a disgrace. And but they said they got him and I stood up and they were like, we have to get you out of here, sir. And I said, you know, when we were down there, when we were crouched down, you know, and I was looking at the blood coming out of my ear and I was showing all the Secret Service people like, look what I caught. I then thought to myself, I was like, wait a second. And then they said, we got him. And I said, okay, I'm safe. And then, as you know, as an entrepreneur, you can't turn off the business sense.
That's
you
know? True, yeah.
And I sort of went into full business mode at that moment, and I said, wait a second. And I looked up, and I saw a beautiful flag, because I usually have 950 flags behind me on stage, so I knew there'd be a flag close.
Yep.
And when I said, oh, there's the flag, and then Mike Pence screamed out, here I am, and I said, no, Mike, flag. And then I stood up, and I said, fight. And I said, fight. And I saw the people taking the photos. And you know, the iconic. They're calling it iconic.
Yeah.
They're calling it iconic.
I think it is iconic, yeah.
You know, it's you think Sleepy Joe could do that?
I don't think so. I definitely don't think he could caught a bullet. This is breaking news on Rain on Your Parade. I don't think that anybody knew that you caught the bullet.
Well, it would have been nice if JT was here because
you could rub it in his face.
You think he took all that big liberal shit in front of me if he knew I was catching bullets?
He was saying some wild stuff about you before we started recording. This before you came in.
This is what I'm. This is what I try to tell people. This is why I'm coming on this show. Yeah. I don't run. I stand and I catch bullets.
Right.
The left is full of nasty people like JC.
Yeah.
Okay. And not me. I want love. You have to be tough. You're president. You have to be tough. In business, you have to be tough. There's no peace and love in business or in presidenting. But we want to keep people together, healthy, safe, together, unified.
Yeah. No,
unified.
I get it.
It's called unity.
Yeah. You know, and famously, you like to love women whether they want it or not.
It's called passion, Mike. It's called passion. And from what I hear, you used to do strong with the ladies, and you seem to have lost a step, and that's unfortunate. Maybe it's hanging around with JL all the time. He's giving off big, angry, liberal energy. But I got up from the below the booth, and I said, fight. And they were trying to hold me back, and I pumped my fist. And I almost wanted to do the YMCA dance because I went like this. And yeah. I was like, wait, can I get the other one going?
Yeah.
Imagine that. Imagine if they had let me stay and I said, put on YMCA.
Did you, so that, since you caught the bullet, there was a whole kerfuffle on stage. Was there, and I know obviously you had your.
And by the way.
Yep.
We lost a life at our rally. A great guy. Yep. Firefighter. You know, that's a first responder, by the way.
Yeah, hero.
Protecting his family.
Yep.
And they not everybody can catch bullets.
Right.
Okay. And that's why I'm there, because they know I'm the strongest and I'll protect and I'll love and I'll take care of our country. But not everybody's as strong as me. And we're very sad about that. We have to say that.
Yeah. All right. So back to my original question. Do you, in all that madness, after you got up, you took your picture, was there any part of you that wanted to stay and finish the speech, or did you know you had to get off the stage because of Secret Service rushing you off? Or,
you know, Secret Service, when you got six people, like two women, I think I had a lot of women on my, you know, that's for another day.
Yeah.
You know, when we got, it's not Victoria's Secret Service. Okay.
Yep.
But we had a lot of, they were rushing me off, and I think they were embarrassed that they almost lost a president, and I would have stayed and we would have partied and we would have, you know, just celebrated life.
Yeah.
You know, what better way to be pro-life than to catch a bullet? Okay?
Yeah.
You know, I'm actually thinking while I'm in Wisconsin, I may just run into abortion clinics and catch the abortion drugs mm-hmm. before they go into the women. You know, because when you're a celebrity, they let you grab, you can grab them by the abortion surgery.
Right. That's what I've heard.
Any other questions?
Knowing that the Secret Service kind of didn't do the right sweeps and they didn't get the guy, I mean, there's some videos where it seems like people in the rally were spotting the shooter clearly and shouting out, hey, there's a guy up there with a gun.
Right. You had.
Did you have to fire anybody from the Secret Service? And if so, how did you do it?
Well, we're going to have to look into our detail.
Okay.
But obviously, now that we have Sleepy Joe running the Victoria Secret Service, we're going to have to, make some requests. But obviously, some people should get fired.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people probably should get fired. And I think that, when you have, like, hillbillies wearing visors doing a better job than Secret Service.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we should, instead of the Secret Service, we should have the hills have eyes people. That seemed to be who caught the guy first.
Yeah.
You know, we should have them.
Yeah.
Look at us in our nice suits.
They already have guns.
They have guns.
Yeah.
And they want to protect their president. They actually want to. It's not a job. It's
right.
a passion
right.
for the Hills Have Eyes people. So I don't know. We have to look into that very strongly because we can't have this happen again. You know, because, it hurt. I'll admit that. Once the adrenaline went off, I was like, ooh, my hand hurts a little bit from catching the bullet.
Yeah, I imagine it's a lot. One final question for me, and then if you have any statements that you want to make or anything, we're happy to give you the floor to do so. What did you think of current President Biden's response after this whole situation? He addressed the nation, obviously, and wanted people to cool the temperature down, quote unquote. Do you have any response to that, or did you have any feelings about what he said?
I did. And he made a nice phone call to me.
Did he?
You know,
he said he was gonna, but
he called me. It was brief.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, he said, how are you doing? And I said, who is this? And he said, it's Hunter. And I laughed because he didn't even know who he was. But he said, Joe. It's Joe, Jack. And I said, well, Joe, Jack, thank you for the call. And we're going to beat your ass in November. But thank you for the call. So I was very respectful. And I think the speech he gave was very good. It was very necessary because the left for too long has been saying such nasty things. They've been calling me a felon. Mm-hmm. They've been calling me a threat to democracy simply because I said maybe we need to get rid of the Constitution. They've been calling me a rapist. Can you believe that? They've been calling me just because it's been found in a court of law.
Yeah.
Well, a civil court, by the way, not a criminal court, only civil.
It's still a court.
Okay. No, but it's not. Do I look like I'm in jail for it? And
great point.
So they've been calling me all these nasty things. They call me fat. They call me that I did bankrupt. They said I've been bankrupt. They say that I'm nasty and racist. And they have to stop. They have to stop. And if they stop that, we will tone down our QAnon people who say that they are eating the blood of babies. Maybe they're just using it as seasoning. Yeah, maybe they're not. You know, so like we're stepping back as well. It's called taking a step back.
Yep.
So if they meet us halfway, you know, then we will say, maybe we went too far when we said you hated America and we're having, you know, child sex parties. Maybe we went too far. You see that? You see our I'm already showing different tone?
It's growth.
It's called growth.
Yeah.
And unlike this Sleepy Joe economy, which keeps going into the gutter, it's very sad, and I feel bad for you as a strong business owner that you have to work in this horrible economy. But we're coming back. We're coming back. So I want to say something to the listeners of...
Yeah, please.
JR's podcast. I know he's probably still in the bath. He's probably crying in the bathroom like, I can't meet Trump. I can't talk to Trump. He's too tough.
Soft guy. I got to tell you, he's not here, so I can say that to you, that he's kind of soft.
He used to be built. You know, he could have even been a
But even when he was guy. Built, he was like, you know, he was kind of like a feeble-minded guy.
But he sits, he could probably be my Secret Service guy. He's taller.
Yeah.
He might be taller than
But he me. Will run. He's probably, he's just like the guy that probably missed the assignment on the Secret Service. Because he's not, you know, he's really big. And he does talk a big game. Like, I work with him, so I know, you know. But sometimes, every now and then, I'm kind of like, dude, come on. Like, you can't back this
it's
up.
It's almost like liberals are pussies.
Yeah, right.
And he's just a giant pussy.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Like, listen, it's hard to argue with you here.
Like maybe they'd like him in the Kardashian family.
Right.
You know, this is our biggest place to place black athlete penis, JT.
Right.
Total pussy, total dick magnet because he can fit a bunch of them in there because he's a giant pussy.
Right.
Well, the point is we have to talk nicely about Democrats and bring the country together. And we're going to do that. You're going to see not a different Trump. It's still tough. Still tough. But now I don't. When you catch bullets and survive assassinations, people no longer have to say, oh, are you tough enough to run the country? Now I don't have to shit. Now people know.
Yeah.
So now we can talk policy. We can talk about a lot of policy. We have so many policies, too many to get into here, but we have all the policies, top policies, and also great policies. So if you're out there and you're a radical left person who likes JL's horrible podcast, in the words of Suge Knight, remember him? He
ran
Death Row Records.
Yep.
Suge. He was Suge because he was like super huge. So they called him Suge.
Right.
If you're tired of the radical left losing and trying to assassinate great presidents, come to MAGA. So we're going to turn the convention into sort of like a white source awards. So now I have to go. I have to fly back to Wisconsin.
But of Mike, course.
You've been very respectful. I would expect nothing less from a strong Italian. And good luck with JT. I think you should dump his show like a dog.
I appreciate it, Mr. President. Have a safe flight back to Wisconsin. We obviously appreciate you taking... Goodbye, Mr. President. We appreciate you taking some of your time. That's it with former president and potentially future president Donald J. Trump. We will be right back. JL, I'm going to go get him out of the bathroom, but we have some comedy talk coming on the other side of the break. Stick around.
And we're back, and what the fuck, Mike? You couldn't hold him
off?
What
do you mean, what the fuck? You missed the interview.
It was like a... I told you, I ate Chinese
Change your
food.
Diet.
Yeah, but you can't always, like, Laura's tired of me getting the same thing, so she's like, let's get Chinese. And it was, you know, that rubbery beef and broccoli that some where it's not like a nice, well-done
and
beef.
This caused stomach problems.
So how was it with the piece of shit?
Surprisingly good. I mean, he did make me feel kind of good. He complimented my business, which was very nice of him. And he doesn't like you. Had some very not nice things to say about you.
Well, you know what? It just shows you the level I'm at. Maybe you should be more grateful. If I'm the level, did he even mention any of your other clients or former podcasts?
He did not, no.
Didn't even mention Guys We Fucked.
Oh, he did. Well, he said he wanted to be on Guys We Fucked, I guess. But he, yeah.
So maybe that's where I should be getting treated if the president, if the former president thinks... If he's beefing with me,
yeah,
maybe this show should be a lot bigger and more respected.
Are you telling me or are you telling
the
audience?
With more clips. Anyway, let's do Punchdown of the Week.
The clips. Go ahead.
Guys, this is a good one. This is a really good one. And it's timely also. I wrote on X/Twitter, I just hope Biden doesn't say there were good people on both sides of yesterday's death. That would disqualify him for the presidency in my mind. You get that, right?
Yeah.
Right. An allusion to Charlottesville. Somebody responds, a follower, because you know 45 would say that if the shoe were on the other foot. And I didn't respond. I showed growth. Speaking of growth, I think I heard from the bathroom you were saying that Trump was showing growth.
Yes. Well, he said that and I backed, yeah.
But I was going to respond, he did 7 years ago, sir. But I didn't. I just let it be. But that's one of those things where it's like, but that's that. Do you think I came up with that language by accident?
Mm-hmm.
Both on both sides, very fine people on both sides. You think I just pulled that out of my ass? But I'm just learning. I did a, I almost made the other punchdown, a double punchdown of the week because I said, I did a, we need to tamp down the rhetoric on both sides. And then I said, we have to stop calling Trump a felon. And then I listed like the 12 heinous things Republicans constantly do. And the amount of Democrats in my mentions going, fuck that, dude. And I'm going, I couldn't have made the sarcasm any thicker. Like the sarcasm was so overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the world we live in now. Comedy is becoming a lost sense. It's as if we're losing touch or taste. Like the ability to decipher and understand a joke is going bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.
So... it's a fun time to be a comedian. That's all I'll say.
I bet.
One other thing before we discuss the special that I watched this week, which I did like. So stay tuned, everybody, for good news. Something to give you some joy in these trying times. Other than my content, of course, which Half Blackface on Amazon Prime. You can watch it anytime for free if you have Amazon Prime. And you should if you're a fan of mine. In fact, if you don't, you're not really a fan of mine. So the... guns. That's the other thing I wanted to talk about very briefly from our discussion, which is, I think, all jokes aside about the birdcage illusion, once they realized, because the worst case scenario for this country is not that this guy is some trans Antifa warrior who's gone off the deep end and is like ride or die left wing. Because then you can go, see, we have a cause. It's the ideology. It's the talk.
Uh-huh.
Well, what if this guy, just as everything seems, a guy who his coworkers had nothing really bad to say about him? Not like nobody was saying like all they said was he was bullied in high school. But friends, he had some friends, a couple of friends, and they said he was like a nice guy. His coworkers at a nursing home said he was a nice guy, pleasant worker. That's the scary thing, is if he's just some random kid with no indicia of threat, then maybe, and here's the thing the Republicans definitely don't want to talk about, maybe it's the guns.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, that is kind of the funny thing about this whole thing, right? If, to me, if there is something funny, how hard was it for this kid to get a gun and just go and go to a rooftop? And it right. seems a little too, I'm not a conspiracy person. I don't think this was a staged thing, but in a lot of ways, it does almost seem too easy that a puny kid could get a big ass gun on a rooftop that close to Trump and, you know, just start shooting.
Yeah. So, of course, the Republicans, if they couldn't do anything after Trump is the only thing left after 20 first graders at Sandy Hook or 17 children, I believe, at Uvalde.
Yep.
If the little
Parkland,
kids,
I mean, like
they were high school. Come on. we can deal. Nobody likes high schoolers.
Right.
But everybody loves first graders.
Of course. Right.
But if we couldn't do anything, and I remember somebody accusing on my Twitter, accusing Obama of crocodile tears after Sandy Hook. And I was like, maybe we could go back to that moment 12 years ago. Like maybe it was the racism and the birther. Who started birtherism?
Well, yep.
Hey, wait a second. Donald Trump did birtherism too?
Yeah.
You mean he accelerated and put racism in politics on steroids even before he was president? Wow, I have to rethink my whole Donald Trump is a great guy argument. But that whole thing, when somebody can accuse the president of crocodile tears as if being upset over 20 slaughtered first graders can't bring any normal person to tears, let alone somebody who had probably seen the evidence and had to meet with the families. That's, forget the rhetoric now. We were a sick fucking country then.
Yeah.
We were already sick, and the fact of the matter remains, Obama became president, and that motivated the worst people in our country, including Donald Trump. And it if it didn't start there, man, that was lighter fluid to whatever fucking issues we had, and it's only gotten worse.
Uh-huh.
So like sure. I said, on Twitter, if somebody can actually accuse the president of crocodile tears when talking about dead first graders who were slaughtered, we've already got a major problem. That you can't believe that this man has some humanity. And he seems pretty nice. That's the thing. I even think Trump has some humanity and he seems like a garbage person.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, guns. Guns might be an issue here. Especially if you can't point to anything else. Like, but we're never going to do if, and now if Trump getting shot doesn't do anything, even some law, like if you're the law abiding gun owner, like the dad, and you don't lock up your firearm and it's used in a crime, you get charged with the crime, right? Like felony murder. Like if I drive the getaway car and then the guy I robbed the bank with starts shooting people on the street, I can be tried for murder.
Yeah.
Even though I'm like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah, yeah.
So why can't now, but they won't do that because guns are sacred. Guns greater than life. So that's where we're at. So if first graders and Trump can't get us better gun laws, it's over.
Right.
Just like America. Anyway, guys, time for the final part of Comedy Talk, and that's Sam Morril, Amazon Prime. I get so jealous when I see these comics just like, yeah, I got two on Netflix, one on Comedy Central, one on Amazon. I have one on Amazon, by the way. So when you check out Sam Morril's, you might as well just bookmark Half Blackface as well. Don't you think, Mike?
Yeah.
Well, Mike, we're only at 45 reviews. I don't get it, but Sam Morril, and what was the name of it?
it's called You've Changed.
You've Changed. I haven't changed. I forget the special name every week.
Yeah.
You've Changed on Amazon Prime. Sam Morril, the moment I knew he was going to be big, I went down for my second time to the Asheville Comedy Festival. I want to say this was 2010 or 2009. I had been the year before, did really well. So I said, hell yeah, I'm going back to Asheville. It was a fun time. So I got in a car with Nick Cobb, a comedian friend of mine, Sam Morril, who I either was just meeting for the first time then or had barely known. He was still at sort of his open mic getting into the scene stage, and somebody else in the car, and I apologize who that is. But we got to Asheville. We drove all the way from New York to Asheville, and I had a very mediocre set. I was so disappointed because I was trying, not new stuff, but it was like the year before was like my generic TV set that went very well. Now I was trying to move beyond that and do some other things, and it just didn't have, I didn't have a great set. And then Sam went up like later that evening and destroyed. And I was like, he's real good. And he is. And he is kind of, I hate to compare and put down another comic. Like Dave Attell is a very revered comic. But I think just the way you could compare an NBA player, like, Giannis is better than somebody who's had a better career. Like Giannis is better than Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He won't outrank Kareem, but on just like the nature of training and expanding your game, et cetera. If you swapped them out, 1981 Kareem is not doing what 2024 Giannis is doing. You get my point.
Sure.
Right. I feel like that's when I watch Sam Morril, I see somebody who is an elite, elite joke writer. And the nature of comedy now where you've got to keep producing more content and you're podcasting. So you're always in joke mode, content mode, writing mode. I think the business demands more and is making, I don't think people are taking as big risks necessarily as they used to, but in terms of just being even more competent, sharper and voluminous in their material. And when I listen to his stuff, I see a more like a Dave Attell 2.0, not saying he outranks Attell in the hierarchy of comedy greats. But if you like Dave Attell, if you like those sharp joke writers, Morril's really good. And I really liked this one. I've criticized some of the big wigs of like kind of my generation, a little bit younger. You know, we all know the Mark Normans, et cetera, who are great. But I keep kind of looking for like, but where's the risk taking? Where's the pivot to like the Carlin sort of pivot? Like when you occupy that high level, that's what I did. Sorry to bring it up again with Half Blackface. I felt I owed it to myself to do something very different, more to entertain myself, but more to also say, hey, I took some risks. And Morril, I don't know that he's taking risks. It feels like another good Sam Morril special, but this one was really funny. So not everybody has to do that, but you know what I mean by like the George Carlin sort of, sure. Like he was this kind of comic and then he made like a pivot,
uh-huh.
And was considered great in sort of both eras of his career. So I'd be interested in seeing some of these guys start to go in a different direction. The money and the opportunities are so great. There's no real need to from a business standpoint, but there are some really, Sam is one of the most talented guys, I think, out there in stand-up, and you will love the special, but I, as a fan of the art, I wouldn't mind seeing like, what's the evolution of these guys when they hit their 40s? Do they make a pivot, do something other than just like, I'm a dad now,
uh-huh.
You know, like a real deep pit. Maybe not. Who needs to? You don't have to. But, you know, Jim Gaffigan made a big change, I thought, in his most recent special at like 57 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like incredible to see. So there's some comedy talk. Mike hates it. I love it. I thank you for listening. Mike, please tell the people what they should do to support the show.
If you are a listener of the show, please head over to YouTube and watch the show. You can leave a comment in the comment section. That helps us with the algorithm. You guys have gotten really good at doing that, so obviously we need to just keep reaching out to more and more people and train them to do it. You guys who do it already, thank you. Keep it up. We love seeing these comments. We love talking to you guys in the comment section about things that we're doing on the show. So, like I said, keep going. And if you're watching on YouTube, if you're coming from JL's YouTube, go over to Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave us a review. That always helps. And obviously, just, you know, take us with you on the road. If you're about to take the train, about to get in your car, listening to the show is also a fantastic option. Back to you, JL.
Thank you, Mike. Yes, everybody, please. And I've got a lot of shows coming up. I'm in Philly, St. Paul, Rutherford, New Jersey, New York City, Chicago, Hartford, and so the calendar's filling up for the August through November phase. So please go to jlcomedy.com. Links to everything, including Mike Half Blackface,
of course,
and all my stuff, the blog, the links to the videos, the link to this podcast. And if you liked the Trump content, you got to be listening to Making Podcasts Great Again, my other podcast. So I thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed this. Please tell a friend, share it. If you like the comedy or the commentary, get a friend to listen. And I will see you next Thursday.